Welcome to Wonders, the One Hit Wonder Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Zandi, comedian here out of Los Angeles. I am doing Swell today. That is a so and well put together, I believe, Swell. It's pretty great. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's when we're recording this right now, which is kind of like holiday purgatory. But, you know, having fun recording this. You'll probably hear this sometime. That's not that week. So I hope you're doing well as well. Speaking of doing well, I'm doing fantastic because we have a wonderful guest here today with such talent, such as photography and the co-founder of Halloween Huns. Please welcome Nick D.
Hello. It me.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. As they say on the internet.
It me?
Hello, it me.
I want to do that IRL as well. When people introduce me to each other, hi, it me.
You're just standing there, just extend your hand, a slight bow of the head, it me.
It sets expectations low in real life if I do that. You know, I think that's good.
If we ever see each other again and you don't do that, I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm going to write down a note, and you know how committed I am to bits. Write this down somewhere and do that. And hopefully you remember. Hopefully I remember.
Yeah, I'm not just standing there like, what is this idiot doing? Like, all right, you've thrown him into this bit.
Honestly, that would be very on brand. But thank you for being on. I appreciate it. Just getting this started. I'm thrilled I had you on my wish list and you shot me a song. And I'm like, oh,
really?
This is actually perfect.
Aww.
No, I wanted to have you on anyway. So
yay.
It was perfect timing.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Did you have a particular song that you were expecting me to pick?
No, I make it open field. So whatever people want to pick, unless I'm looking for a song specifically. But no, I didn't have any expectation. And you beat me to the punch by sending me a song I've never heard of.
Are you serious? Okay, that was one of the things
yes.
I was going to ask you is if you've ever even heard of it. Because to me, I love this song. It has a lot of very special meanings to me that we can get into later. But it's a lot of people I found weren't listening to like the alt college station in their hometown or whatever. And don't know this song.
No, it's very surprising. And the song, of course, we have not mentioned it yet, but it is Female of the Species by Space.
Yes, that is great.
Yeah, when you sent me it, I immediately looked it up and listened to it. And I'm like, wow, this is very unique. I did not expect this song at all because it has like kind of a steel drum, which turns out are not steel drums at all.
No.
When I saw the music video, again, I'm spoiling everything for the future. But I'm like, wait, what is going on? And then the more I listened to it, I didn't like it at first, I'm going to be honest. But it got in my head and it's so catchy now. And I watched the music video and I'm hooked. I am on the space boat.
Ship? Perhaps.
What's it called when you're
spaceship?
When you're all on board with something?
All hands on deck.
No,
that's like everybody get in here. You are you're jazzed.
Sure, I am on the space jazz.
You're on the
bandwagon. That's the word.
Bandwagon
is the word I'm looking
bandwagon.
For. It's a vehicle.
On
I'm on the space bandwagon.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to dive into the Wikipedia page for this real quick. Just lay that all out so the listeners know what we're talking about. Because they can't actually hear it due to copyright and such like that. But we can talk about it.
Boo. You can't play like 10 seconds of it? What's the limit?
No, I've looked and the internet, aka Yahoo Answers, has given me very different answers. So I might be able to get away with that in the future. But if I did want to play a song, I could only upload it to Spotify. And I want every platform to listen to this. So.
Huh. Interesting.
It's weird. It's a gray area. But I wonder if I could play like royalty-free music, just like Beethoven, one-hit wonder. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that one-hit wonder Beethoven.
Someone did send me a Beethoven song, and I thought it was real. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. If you consider a one-hit wonder, I don't care. The rules are very loose. They were joking, and I did not realize it was a bit.
You know, this isn't the time for unnecessary bits.
No.
We're all hurting.
It's 2020. We've had enough.
Don't do that to people.
So yeah, jumping into the Wikipedia page, Female of the Species is a song by the English rock band Space, released as their fourth single and second single proper from the debut album Spiders on May 27th, 1996, reaching number 14 on the UK singles chart and earning a silver certification from the British phonographic industry on October 2019. This is a lot of facts that nobody will probably care about. It is the band's only charting single in both the UK, in the US and Canada. It does not mention UK.
Yes.
They probably had more hits in the UK.
They were pretty popular in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, they're actually pretty popular in the UK. If you have any UK listeners, they're probably sitting here thinking right now, what? No, Space has a lot of songs, but in the US, they only had the one.
Yeah, I talked with a friend about this, and I'm like, I've never heard of this song. He's like, oh yeah, I'm surprised anyone's heard of that song. He's from the UK. He's like, oh no, it's very popular over there, but I'm surprised anyone over here would pick it. But you did. I'm like, Nick D is a music nerd. I am not surprised that they would pick it.
Leave it to me. Oh, do you think I'm a music nerd? That warms my little heart that you think I'm a music nerd.
I think you are. Do you consider yourself to be?
No, I consider myself to be pretty basic.
What's your favorite artist?
I consider myself to be pretty basic, and also like my musical tastes have not evolved since 1996. So maybe it's just a fact that the kids nowadays think that I might be some sort of great historian or whatever, just because I don't like anything that came out past 1996. So,
well, you like Father John Misty, at least.
I love Father John Misty, but so do a lot of people. I think he's pretty popular.
I think so.
I love Radiohead, but once again, that's the 90s coming back at us. I don't know. I've got pretty... I almost said I have pretty eclectic taste, but I don't.
I think you do. I think you do. You're not giving yourself enough credit. I think you have great taste in music. Yeah. Let's see. I think we have a little bit more on the wiki. Let me go through this. The song is written and sung by frontman Tommy Scott in tribute to his late father, who reportedly disliked his son's taste in music. Female of the Species is a funky, upbeat, Latin-flavored number with feel-good-sounding vibes and vocals from lounge singers such as Frank Sinatra combined with keyboardist Frankie. This is a run-on sentence.
Well, it's Wikipedia.
It's like, Wikipedia. I'm like...
taking your information from open source. It's never going to be great.
I think someone's pranking me. But it's combined with the keyboardist Franny Griffith's trademark sound effects and Scott's darkly humorous lyrics, which I think is true. It's got a tinge of funny in there, kind of like Cake.
Yeah. I think that might be one of the reasons why I was into them, was I was also very into Cake. Yeah, I don't know that I'd call it Latin, just because it's got that, you know, I mean, it does have that little kind of marimba, xylophone, whatever that is, thing at the beginning. But other than that, I feel like it's very, because you know how everybody was kind of obsessed with the 60s and the 90s, but it was definitely kind of like if you took like a Bond movie and then covered it in pleather and glitter, that was like a lot of what the 90s was. And so I feel like this definitely has that kind of feel.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Kind of like a retro feel. I feel like every 30 years we rotate. So what is it, 2020?
Oh,
so we're
yeah,
back to 90s real. Sounds again.
We're back to the 90s, which we are, though. Like, a lot of people are dressed like on purpose. There's like that normcore kind of Jesse Spano type like look, I guess, that people like, just the most boring clothing you could possibly find that is like the thing to wear now.
Yeah.
It definitely comes back around with like little tweaks, so you can claim that it is of this decade, but it's definitely that weird kind of just like a big puffy sweater and some acid wash jeans is like back.
I'm literally,
is that what you're wearing?
Literally oversized sweater and jeans right now. And I would say my
style is
just black t-shirts. You've shot me before, you know. My clothing is very denim jacket or leather jacket, just very simple. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the 60s and the 90s. I feel like it rotates every 30 years.
Everything old is new.
Mm-hmm. Now I let my guests pick any one hit wonder, and you gave me the song. I'm not even trying to be a guest, I don't think, just suggesting a song.
I just yelled it at you. I was like, do that one. And then you were like, are you free this week to talk about it? And I was like, oh, me?
Why are you so passionate about this song?
Okay. So this song specifically, brings up a lot of good memories of high school, and they were also part of the first concert that I ever attended. There was this music station in Philly that is now defunct, and it was called Y100, and it was the like alternative rock station in Philly. And in 1997, I think, was the first one that they did, which was the one that I went to. They did this thing every year called the Festival. And I think it was like $20 for a ticket. And they gave you a little paper fez. And it was just a whole bunch of different, like, alternative bands and punk bands and ska bands and stuff that you would hear on that kind of station. And there were like three different stages. So there was like the main stage that had like the bigger bands, and then Space was on like the medium stage because they had that big hit at the time. So we actually, like, we went over to the little side stage and saw them and met Tommy Scott, and he signed my ticket, and he was very nice, and he seemed very out of it. I was like, oh, it's kind of like a lot of, he just seemed like a very, like, cute little English boy on a lot of fucking drugs. But I went back and, like, reread a lot of, like, that particular tour that they were on and stuff for this podcast, and it turned out that just, like, none of them were having a good time. Like, they all got homesick and then physically sick, and he lost his voice for 2 months. So when I met him, he could have just been fucking exhausted, not necessarily high or whatever. But very sweet guy, green hair. The band was, you know, fine. Because if you've ever heard their album Spiders, there's like two good songs on it, and the rest of it is just kind of like weird 90s mess. It's definitely one of those you bought that album for the single and the rest of the album was not great albums.
Yes.
But yeah, I have fond, and they do have another like minor hit. It was not a hit here, I don't think, called You and Me Versus the World, that my high school boyfriend put on a mixtape that he made for me.
Aww.
So yeah, that's actually a really fun song too, if you want another good one to get stuck in your head. But yeah, I have very, very fond memories of the group and of that song, mostly because of just the time in my life that everyone listening to this knows that I was in high school in 1996 now. God damn it. And going to that concert and stuff and seeing them live is pretty much, I think, why I really like it a lot.
No, I love songs specifically, and it seems like a lot of one-hit wonders seem to be that way because it's tied to that moment in time. You don't ever hear it any other time.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, yeah, because of that nature of it being so tied to one specific point in time, you will think of one specific thing for the rest of your life. My college roommate, I remember, was obsessed with that Hanging on a Moment song.
Oh, the Lifehouse song?
Yeah. So what was that, like 2000, 2001, I guess?
Sounds about right.
She would blast it over and over and over. I can't hear that song to this day without picking the curse specifically, because she loved it so much. Maybe I can get her to come on and talk about it with you, if I can.
Yeah, I think.
See, she wants to take some time out of her life raising two kids and like being a human to come do bits on a podcast.
No, I remember that song. It was very popular with the Christian crowd too, because of the ambiguous lyrics and all.
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah, Lifehouse had like some more Christian rock hits. I'm sure they're faded out of into obscurity now.
Oh, is that why they were called Lifehouse? Is because it was like a Christian thing?
Probably. Probably there's a Lifehouse bookstore too, so probably it's probably something metaphorical.
I just always figured it was something where some member of the band was like, I want it to be like Lighthouse, but like different. And that's just like they came up with that.
I revisited the band again recently, specifically that song too. And I didn't realize it before, but they are trying so hard to be Nirvana. But it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds a lot like Nirvana, but it's not Nirvana because
remember Silverchair?
I do. Yeah, that's a throwback.
Everybody, I remember them specific. That's another good one hit wonder, I believe, right? I don't think they had another one past that.
I can't even name one of their songs.
Oh, that's that You Wait Till Tomorrow, that one.
I'm not doing it justice. It sounds better than that. I'm up, but I can't even play it right
now. I specifically remember everybody calling them very specifically the next Nirvana. And then they had that one song and were never heard from again.
And those are the bands I love.
Those are the bands I love.
Yeah. The kinds of bands where people will play it and like in the car or something, and people will be like, oh, I haven't heard this song in forever. And like, this is the seventh time listening to it this week. I am also in the past. But no, I actually have a playlist. I got this idea actually from High Fidelity. Movies, but the TV show is great. It's autobiographical order. So just songs that remind you of a moment.
Oh, God.
And a lot of these are one-hit wonders. A lot of, like, Sugar Ray and stuff. Like not great songs, but they
were Sugar Ray weren't one-hit wonders. They had a couple.
They had a couple.
They had at least three.
Fly Every Morning. That's all I can think of.
Yeah. And the one where you... Something about a headboard?
I think that's Every Morning.
That might be Every Morning.
Yeah. They keep coming up on here too.
Oh, four post bed. That's what I'm thinking of. I was like, there's something about a bed. Yep. What is it?
Yep.
That is Every Morning.
But yeah, I don't have any.
Did you really only have two songs?
What was that?
I feel like, is that Mark McGrath?
It is.
The singer's name?
Yep.
I feel like he's way too famous for a band that only had two songs.
Now, isn't he the one that went on to like host Extras or something like that?
That's the thing. Like, he's had too good of a career to be part of a band that only had two songs. I couldn't tell you what the lead singer of Smash Mouth's name is. It's Steve something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just recorded that.
I don't know what his last name is.
Yesterday, Steve Harwell. Not a great
Steve guy. Harwell. Oh, is he a dick?
Yeah, he played like a COVID fest and.
That's right. Yeah. It was like him and Kid Rock or something, right?
Probably. They're probably in the same boat. In the same probably
he sounds like a piece of shit who would do that.
Didn't Kid Rock like run for governor?
Oh God, did he?
Or maybe it was mayor. He couldn't have possibly.
If Jesse Ventura can win, anyone can.
Circling back to the song.
Getting back to the point of this.
I seriously love tangents so much, so we're good. I've never heard this song though. It's so catchy, and now this is my memory of it. Is tying it to this podcast.
Aw, yay!
But
you'll always think of me.
I will. I will think of you and this purgatory week between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh God, no! Damn it!
The thing.
If I ever die in like a weird accident, I want you to come to the funeral and like hold the boombox up over like say anything that shit like hold the boombox up over your head and just play the song. Don't say anything, just walk up there, just press play the whole song, and then sit back down.
Oh no, I'm gonna say two words. I'm gonna go up there, I'm gonna hold the boombox over my head, I'm gonna whisper it me, and then I'm gonna hit play.
And then I'll rise back up from the dead and be like, he did it. They did it.
Necromancy. That's exactly.
Necromancy?
I'll give you that. I'm like, oh, no, I said neck. Oh, I see what you did.
Oh. I think they're funny.
Speaking of names, Space. I don't like it when bands do this, where they make...
Or they just give you one random word.
Yes, like a noun? You can't Google space. You can't tell your friend, hey, I'm going to go hear space tonight. I'm going to go see space tonight. You want to join? Going to a space concert.
Okay, so when I was in another tangent, we're just going to keep doing this. When I was in college, I went to school in Philly, and I used to get my hair cut at this very nice place called The Hairdressers. And I had a very good hairdresser, and his name was Randy. And people would compliment me all the time and be like, where do you get your hair cut? And I'd always be like, The Hairdressers. Like, not having any clue, like, how flippant and horrific that sounds. And finally, one day, somebody was like, fuck you then, damn. And I was like, what? And then they're like, you can't just tell me where you get your... It was such like a who's on first of like, where do you get your haircut? The hairdresser. Stop being a bitch. I'm not. But tell me where you get your haircut. At the hairdressers. And then finally, like, somebody was like, it's a place on 12th. And they were like, oh.
I love that so much. I love wordplay, and that fits right into my loves.
Yay.
Now the song, well, every song in general can have a million different meanings, and none of them are ever right. You can interpret a song however you want. What does this song mean to you?
This song to me, let's see. So Webster's Dictionary defines, no, do you imagine?
I define species or female?
Webster's Dictionary defines species as, no, but if you do want to get philosophical about it, what does the song mean to me? Well, the very first instance of that whole idea of the female of the species being deadlier than the male, or in this case, more deadlier than the male. I don't know why they wrote those lyrics. That makes sense. It first comes from a Rudyard Kipling poem from 1911 called The Female Species, which is a pretty shit poem and is pretty racist and pretty sexist. He manages to cram some casual racism in there on top of the sexism. And it's a real interesting, dumb poem because it's like a 15 stanza poem. And the first four stanzas all end with that, like, the female of the species is more deadly than male. Does that four times, and then completely breaks, goes off the rails, gets real offensive and racist, and then eventually comes back and is like, for you see, the female of the species is more deadly than male. Like, we get it. And then there was like a knockoff Bond film, I think from like the 60s, called Deadlier Than the Male, that the theme song of it was called Deadlier Than the Male. That sounds pretty similar to Female of the Species. And if one did not live through the 90s and know it better, one could probably say that space probably just lifted the idea of that song entirely. But those of us who are old enough to remember the 90s also remember that the 90s were just a giant Bond film wrapped in pleather and glitter and slightly straighter hair and butterfly clips, pretty much. So it could make sense that he just was like, no, this is a cool sound for the 90s. I think it's kind of a humorous take on the quite misogynistic idea that if a woman is mad at you, that's somehow unbecoming. But men are allowed to be like decisive bosses, but women are bitches. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or equating all women to like a weird animal, you know? Like you said, the lyrics are kind of funny. Like Frankenstein and Dracula have nothing on you. There are many times where, like, okay, so for basically like 30 years now, I don't know how long ago, it was 1996, if something is vaguely annoying, I mumble to myself under my breath, I go, oh, shock, shock, horror. And nobody ever has any idea what that's from. And I'm like, it's just from the song that apparently I was correct in surmising that no one has ever heard except me. But yeah, it just, like I had said before, it just kind of reminds me of that good time in high school and going to my first concert and not, you know, having to be an adult or have a job or fucking coronavirus or, you know, having all of my dreams smashed to bits as an adult. You know, the world was still had hope and promise when the song was out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And for the listeners that don't know, Rudyard Kipling also wrote Jungle Book. So it's like a pretty...
Rudyard Kipling?
It's not his name? What is it?
Rudyard Kipling.
Wait, Rudyard? Why did I write... I wrote in my notes Rudyard. I know the last name's Kipling. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right.
R.I.P. Yard, son.
To be fair, Rudyard's also not a name.
Rudyard's also a stupid name, yeah, to be fair.
Rudyard sounds... way better.
Rudyard sounds way more like punk badass.
Yes. And despite his flaws, I would like him a lot more if his name was Rudyard.
His name was Rudyard.
But Mr. Kipling, this poem is so bizarre. I did not read it. I read the summary. And even the summary is whack. Basically saying that females are only good just for motherhood, which
is so funny because it's like, how are you gonna, if you read the poem, it literally is like, you know, the male whale's got nothing on the lady whale, she'll bite you in half. Like, it's just really, it's basically, it's that simplistic, it's not great. It's like, when colonizers came over here, they were more afraid of the squaws than the male Indians. Like, that's where it starts getting super racist. But it's literally just a whole bunch of different lines of being like, the male of a species is called a tom, and the female of the species will fucking kill you.
That could actually be pretty humorous if it weren't so offensive.
It doesn't really say anything specific as to like why or how. Yep. It's just like, everyone knows you gotta watch them shifty ladies. They'll stab you in the back. So to have somebody equate it to like motherhood, it's like, where the fuck did you get that, first off? And secondly, if that was what he was saying, it's like, wait, how are we spinning this into death?
Yeah, either way, it's a lose-lose situation. Either way you spin it is not good. It's
none of this.
If you could describe the song in three words, what would those three words be?
If I had to describe this song in three words?
Three words.
That's not a lot of words.
That's not. It's less than four.
Sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Can rarr be a word?
It absolutely can.
It's me trying to purr like a cat. And I really just want to call it like fun, but I don't, you know, it's such a dumb word.
Yeah,
I'll say fun. It's just a dumb, fun song.
Yeah. So sexy, rah, and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good. That's a summary.
Yeah, I think if Tommy Scott ever heard somebody refer to it as that, he would be like, cool, I'll take it.
On that note, we're going to head into a break. And then when we come back...
He's here!
He's here!
What?
Look behind you! Look under your chair! Everyone has a... Tommy Lee Jones, I already forgot this guy's name. Tommy Scott.
Everyone... No, I don't want a Tommy Lee Jones.
No.
I want some old man just fucking yelling at me, just annoyed with my existence. Like, yeah, I know. I'm a failure.
So when we come
I'm
back,
sorry, Mr. Lee Jones.
Mr. Lee Jones is going to be under everyone's chair. But no, when we come back, we're going to talk about the music video. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Wonders, a one-hit wonder podcast. The only one, maybe, I don't know if there's other ones out there. As far as I'm aware, this is the one and only One Hit Wonder podcast. So welcome back. Of course, we're talking with Nick D about Female of the Species by Space. One word, just yeah. Space.
That's it. Let's share.
We're going to start talking about the music video now. Have you seen it?
Oh, I have. It is the most 90s thing you'll ever see.
It is.
And it's also, first off, the lead singer is dressed like whichever one of the Ed and Eddies just wears. Like, just that giant, you know, it's the clothing that's way too big for him. It's like a giant hoodie, sweatshirt thing in JNCOs. Like, that's what he's wearing. At some point in time, they put his outfit on one of the other band members.
I didn't even catch that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go back and catch it. Because for a brief second, I was like, oh, are they all wearing the same thing? I didn't catch that. And then they cut back and I'm like, no, they're not. Like, the bassist or whoever must have gotten like jelly down his actual shirt or something for part of the shoot. So for the second part, they were like, just wear Tommy's shirt. There's no budget to this. Just we don't care. Just put it on, because he's literally wearing Tommy's outfit for like a couple seconds and then has his own clothing back on at the end. But that being said, all four of them look like they literally rolled out of bed, wandered over to the studio, and they were like, all right, camera's on, boys. Let's do it. Just go for it.
It is. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I have nothing really
better to say. No, it's all good. And there's a slight delay sometimes too, so I can never tell. It's a very simple music video for what it is.
It's basically, you could produce something way better than that today with just like your laptop, like with your phone, basically. Things that kids are churning out on TikTok is way more technologically advanced than this music video is. And this was like they got green screen. Like, this was like a good video for the 90s.
Yep. It's got the band members are playing instruments, which is how I found out. Yep. It wasn't like a xylophone or anything, just someone plunking on a keyboard.
That's my favorite part of it, is at the very beginning I was like, why is he playing the keyboard? And then I realized, I was like, oh, because they're making, because there's like horn hits in the song. Yep. And then there's that little like xylophone thing in the beginning and stuff. And then you realize as you're watching it, it's like, for whatever reason, they decided not just to not have like people pretend to play those instruments, like they, like a fake orchestra or something. Not only did they choose to not fake it, but they went out of their way to show the keyboardist's hands playing this like Casio 6500 or whatever it is, making the fake instrument sounds. So you realize at first your brain is like, what? That's not like, ducks don't go moo. Like, what is it doing?
No, it was exactly that scenario that happened to me. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I was like, what the? And then you realize, oh, it's all fake instruments coming out of a synthesizer. That's why. And then they keep cutting back to it for like all the little horn hits and shit. And you're like, stop doing that. Like, you're completely taking me. And then the one time that there is like an actual piano solo, they superimpose the lead singer who's standing there doing nothing. Yep. Over the guy's hand. Like, you have the shot of the guy's hands playing the piano solo. And then for some reason, the lead singer just appears and is just standing there. Over the guy's hand. So you're just watching him just kind of like stare off into space with his mouth open.
Yep. Very, very 90s, very Britpop in that way.
That is the best. Oh, that's something I feel like we should mention, is that, oh yeah, I guess we did kind of mention that this was part of like that whole like mid to late 90s Britpop invasion.
Yeah, like Oasis thing.
So that might, I guess, flavor the sound and inform the video some.
Yeah,
that it was just kind of like, no, this is a video, guys. Like, it wasn't, it's not a very American video. I don't feel like, I feel like there would have been a whole lot more just tits out, explosions, crazy shit,
America.
But instead, you know, like an eagle carrying a bomb.
Yeah.
Or something. But women are clothed, you know, they're doing their sexy little moves, but they are clothed. And there's a cat.
There is a cat. I thought it was a python at first, but I'm pretty sure it's a cat.
I know. In the very first shot of it, it looks like it's got like a weird eye, like it might be like an alien like species eye or something. And then you realize, oh, it's just a cat.
Yep.
It appears in the corner. One of the girls pets it. It's just, you know, in case you didn't realize that there are other species of female than human, here's a cat.
And it's as simple as this music video is, it's entertaining. I love it. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, it definitely encapsulates a certain time period. It is, like, you guys have to go watch it. It is the most 90s thing you will ever see. Some of it's in black and white, some of it's in color. At one point in time, it's like you can tell whatever studio this was just got a green screen that week, because it's like at some point in time, like, the singer's singing and then he kind of fades off of to the side and then comes back in the other side, but only like 3/8 of the way in and then back out, just because, like, they could.
We just did what was it, Hanson, a couple of weeks back, and very much, I think it came out the same year, if not give or take a year, same thing. Like, they have fun with that green screen.
Nice. I don't even really remember what that video, I feel like I just missed Hanson. Weren't they like 98 or something?
I think it's 98, yeah. And this was 94, was it? Yeah, so I guess a couple years between, yeah.
This, I think, was 96.
96, I know I mentioned it up.
95 or
96. Yeah, so I guess like 2 years, yeah. Which, a lot could happen in 2 years for tech, but still.
Yeah. Hey, man, a lot of, like, I don't know, have you seen Soul yet?
Soul? The movie. Yes, I loved it.
The animation is, like, getting too real.
Yes. It's
like, it looks like you're just watching a film with people that happen to have very stylized heads. And 2 years ago, it didn't look like that.
No.
You know? If you go back, I watched Rogue One finally, because I've just never seen it. And looking at, like, how they were able to do, spoiler alert, everybody, if you don't want to hear Mandalorian spoilers, turn this off now. Are we good? Did you turn it off? Okay, great.
We're good.
So Mark Hamill's face in Mandalorian looks a million times better than Grand Moff Tarkin's face looks in Rogue One, and that was only a couple years ago. So I'm sure whatever Hanson was doing in their green screen video in 1998 probably looked a lot better than this one did from 1996 in just 2 years.
Yes, definitely agree. Yeah, Hamill looked amazing, and even better than, I think Leia appears at the very end of Rogue One, which looked pretty
good. She looked bad. No. I mean, I don't know if they went in and fixed her maybe or what, because she didn't look bad to me. And I remember everybody saying that she looked worse in Rise of Skywalker than she did in Rogue One.
Oh, that's right, because they had the...
She didn't even look like her. It looked like they just used Billy Lord's face. They didn't really use her face. It didn't look like her at all.
No, but the end of Rogue One, it looked just fine. I think it's the part of our brain that knows that they're not here anymore. So it really fucks with
us. That's weird.
Hamill's still here, I think we can accept that more.
But also, that was like his pre-accident face.
And that. Yeah, that's true too. And no beard or anything.
So, like, wait, by that point in time, he had his post-accident face. That's weird that they used his pre-accident face.
That's true. Wow. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Like, really, Disney? Why you gotta body shame people? Come on.
If this song was made today, who do you think would be the one to make it?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know any artists today. See, this is the thing. This is why you can't say I'm a music nerd, because I'm like, somebody with a bunch of tattoos on their face, and a bunch of dollar signs in their name. Like, I don't fucking, like, they're little young dollar sign. Is that a person?
Sounds like it to me. How about this, of any artist, like, ever, if space didn't exist, the band, not the outer space,
we'd all be dead.
But if space didn't exist, who would make this song instead?
Oh, you know who might? No, actually.
And maybe they make it their own version. Maybe it doesn't have all the synthesizers and stuff, but they make this song, but it's their song. You know?
I'm trying to think of anyone that's, like, fun like that.
Mm. Yeah, because I would say it's...
This is a bad question for me.
I know we mentioned them.
I don't know. It's so weird. Because to me, it's one of those sounds, It's one of those songs that sounds so 90s that I cannot imagine somebody trying to release something that sounds like that today. Mm-hmm. People would be like, what the hell are you doing? That's not.
It's got,
where's the millennial oh-oh?
Slightly funny lyrics too. So I think I would go back to what I accidentally mentioned earlier, like Cake or like Ben Folds might do this.
Ben Folds might. That seems possible. He's gotten kind of dark lately though. A lot of his shit is real like depressing and very classical nowadays.
Yeah. I think it's very topical, the stuff that he does now. Basically, hey,
yeah,
it's 2019, it's 2020, it sucks.
It's 2020, in case you forgot.
It is.
What fucking year we're in. I don't know, who's like fun and funny?
Fun? The band?
You know who I could see actually doing it? Harry Styles.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that. And
I could see him having his little like lounge career, like just like fucking off and doing him.
I could totally
because
see that.
It is such like a cheeky song. I could see him doing it.
Yeah, and he plays with genres and stuff like that. I could totally see it.
Yeah. He seems like a fun guy. I've seen his Mick Jagger, it's very funny and very good.
No, he's a funny. I respect him quite a bit. He's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Agreed. There's no covers of this song that I could find. Probably because it's mostly UK based.
Because no one's even ever heard
of it. Nobody's heard of it. There's a couple like YouTube covers. But yeah, usually we mention covers. There's nothing. They haven't covered it on Glee. Glee tends to cover almost every one hit wonder. They did not cover this song.
I can't imagine them covering this song though, just because of the line, the misogynistic line it kind of toes. I can't imagine them doing it.
No, or they would have to change it up a little bit if they did. Now the band today, I think you mentioned they're still active, right?
They're still alive and kicking. Yeah.
Nice. I think they put out a greatest hits or something I saw, but it looked like greatest
with both their hits.
It's just a female of the species 10 times.
It's one of those ones where it's like, and the Hot Chip remix, and this
just
remix,
all the remixes.
Mark Ronson comes in and makes it sound even more retro.
Honestly, that actually is the case. I did see there's a bunch of remixes for this song.
Are there?
Yeah, I couldn't find any of them. Maybe they're on YouTube or something. But they didn't pop up when I searched for them. But it popped up on their Wikipedia that they made a couple of remixes of this. So
I have to check them out.
Yeah. I'm stalling because I lost my place. Yeah, but they seem to release at least an album every couple of years. I know they've gone through band rotations and whatnot. But I saw a clip of him playing this song for a radio station, just an acoustic guitar. He's still got it. Tommy's still got it.
Aw. Old Tommy's still got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they released an album in like 2012, I think. I think that was like the last album that they released. If you go to their website, it has not been updated since like 2015. Which still though, for them to last that long, I didn't know that.
No.
Like I didn't know a whole lot of this before I started looking it up. That way I'd know what the hell I was talking about for this podcast. I was like, oh, look at them still kicking around. I literally thought that they had spiders and that was it, and then it just fell off the face of the earth.
Which is also they did it again, where space is pretty hard to find. Let alone spiders. You would have to go into a record store in the 90s. You can't even Spotify this.
Spiders.
Hey, you got spiders? Hey, you got spiders by space?
hey, I'm looking for spiders.
Yeah.
Someone told me I could get spiders here.
Yeah, I got a dozen of them in the back.
Everyone working, that was like the worst summer of everyone working in Amoeba's life. The summer of 1996, just idiots walking and looking for space and spiders. And not like the usual crazies, like actual like children coming in looking for space and spiders.
Okay, it's starting to grow on me now.
Whoa.
Let's transition a little bit into some trivia. Wrote up a couple.
Oh boy.
I know. It's the stakes are very low. The prize is okay, nothing. Great. The points don't matter. Nothing matters. We all just exist. But no, it's a couple trivia questions. Some about space, some about the song, some about what surrounds it. We'll see. It's multiple choice, so you have 1/3, unless you guess something completely that I did not mention, a chance of getting it right. So we'll have fun with this. Female of the Species is featured in what movie? Was it A, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, B, Teeth, or C, The Karate Kid?
Okay, well, so I'm going to say Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, because Teeth sounds like you're trying to make a joke, and Karate Kid was out way before the song ever came out.
That is correct. In fact, yes, Austin Powers, I've not seen it in a while, but I guess it's somewhere in the movie. Teeth,
probably in the credits. I've never seen,
but I know what it is. And yes, that was a joke. Karate Kid, I think, came out quite later. Or maybe Karate Kid an 80s movie?
Sweetheart, the Karate Kid came out in like 1984?
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, it's way before. They did a remake with Hilary Swank in the 90s, but I think even that was before.
Oh, wow. So they have two remakes?
Yeah, because it was like, a chick Karate Kid. In like, I think that was like maybe 94 or something. She was the Karate Kid. And then, yeah, they did, I guess, the Kung Fu Kid.
Oh, yeah, Will Jaden Smith's Smith. Kid. That's right, yeah.
Jaden Smith, yeah.
Next question. Space, much like the Beatles, are from Liverpool. The city was named in Guinness World Records as the world capital of pop. Which of the following artists was also from Liverpool? Was it The Who? Was it Flock of Seagulls? Or was it Randy Newman?
Oh, for fuck's sakes. I was like, say Oasis, say Oasis.
That'd be too easy.
God damn it. Who are the choices?
Well, now we're doing a who's who? Up first.
who was the second choice? Flock of Seagulls? Who,
Flock of Seagulls and Randy Newman.
I'm going to say The Who.
That is incorrect. Unfortunately, it's actually Flock of Seagulls, which I was surprised.
I always think that they're Australian, and I don't know why.
I thought they were from here. But yeah, they're from
Liverpool. I knew that they weren't from here.
I think The Who
look at that.
Is also from London.
They're from England.
They're from England.
Are they from London?
I think they're from London. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. But close. I gotta throw a little
London elitists. Yeah, you tricked me. You got me. Ah, damn it.
And Randy Newman sounds nothing like it.
The good test taker in me is like, I want to fucking kill myself now.
Well, I always leave the last one as a joke because I listen to a lot of Wait, Don't Tell Me.
To be fair, somebody tried saying something about Randy Newman. It was from like Mexico or something.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, like fell for it. And then they were like, no, he's like from wherever the fuck he's from.
I would believe it. He seems like he would be randomly from somewhere you wouldn't expect. But
it was some random thing. No.
As we learned from this song, female of the species is deadlier than the male, apparently. According to BBC News, humans are the deadliest species. But what's the second most deadliest species? Is it mosquitoes, dogs, or llamas?
God damn it, Ian. Is it mosquitoes, dogs, or llamas? Most deadliest how, though? Like, can kill you easiest or kills the most?
Kills the most.
Because mosquitoes, technically, if you count like the plague or dengue fever or whatever, or, like malaria, yeah. Probably win.
Yeah.
They probably win.
That is correct. I've also had, I kind of decide if I want to include that or not, because it is a technical thing where they're carrying the disease. So technically it's them, technically it's not. But yeah, if you do count It would be mosquitoes. 750,000.
If I know I have COVID, if I know I have COVID and I go and cough on someone on purpose and they die, like, I've killed that person. It's not just that, oh, I carried that disease. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're deadly, you're deadly, baby.
And
doesn't matter how you do it.
That's exactly.
Keep that one and cut the one that I got wrong so I don't sound like a stupid.
I'll rearrange them. So it sounds like you got two in a row correct. How many times is female of the species deadlier than male said in the song? Is it 10, 4, or 69?
I wish it was 69.
I wish it was. That would be perfect if it was. But it's not.
Did you pick that because you know how much I love 69 jokes?
Nice.
Or are you just a fan of 69 jokes?
Both.
I cannot, like, there's no, I am an adult human and there is no opportunity that I will miss to yell, nice, like.
Nice.
If I'm, like, I am an idiot and, like, I weigh my food sometimes, like, if I'm on a diet or whatever, and there was one time where it was like 69 grams of chicken and I had to take a picture of my little like food scale. I was like, no, like I cannot ever let it go. And that's honestly one of the few like redeeming qualities that I love about the human race is that we all decided as a species that was a thing that we were just gonna do.
Yep.
So anytime you see the number 69, you have to yell nice. And I love that about us.
It's not even the sexual connotation or anything. It's just,
that's the
nice.
Thing. It's completely gone. We're still acting like a bunch of 12-year-olds that found out what a 69 was, but no one's ever done, like, you've tried to do it once and it was way too much work and you couldn't breathe and you couldn't concentrate and you were like, this is dumb and I'm never doing this again, and no one ever does it, and it doesn't even have that connotation anymore. I think it's just, you just know, you see 69, you yell nice.
Yep.
I love it so much. I love that journey for us. That being said, I'm gonna go with 4.
4? That is correct.
Yeah.
In fact, it is 4. Seems like it would be more.
10 sounds like too much.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I feel like it's gotta be like 6 or 8, and it's not.
Nope. Just 4. Last question on here, which I had no idea. The song is used as a theme song for what UK series? Is it Cold Feet, Killing Eve, or Doctor Who?
I'm going to say Cold Feet because I don't think I've heard it in Killing Eve, although it would fit. And I don't think Doctor Who has any modern songs, does it? I've never seen an episode of Doctor Who, so I have no idea.
Yeah, and this is the theme song for the series, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to watch this Cold Feet.
And yeah, you got 100% correct. It's Cold Feet. Looks like it's a, I don't know, well-received,
it's like a
drama that they seem to like. It's got like 9 seasons, so that's quite a bit. Especially for a UK series, because they don't go that long.
I was just going to say.
Except Doctor Who.
They do like 2 seasons and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Well, except Doctor Who.
But Killing Eve, it would work perfectly for that. To my knowledge, they have not used it. So yeah, I lost score. I always lose score on this. But I think you got like 4 out of 5? 4 out of 5 spiders is your score. So.
You should have given me... What do spiders have? 8 legs?
6 legs? I think it's 8.
However many legs they have is how many questions.
Ooh.
You should have had. And then you could have been like, such and such out of 8 legs.
I had trouble finding even 5 questions for this because, you know what? Space is hard to Google! And they've been around a while, but it's really hard to Google facts about space. I almost threw like a NASA question in here. But I'm like, I don't know.
I probably would have gotten that one right.
But
don't ask me where the who is from. Ask me about the Virgo supercluster. I'll get that shit right.
What is a Virgo supercluster?
See, exactly. That is a part of space. I'm going to fucking get this wrong now. I believe it's the part of space that the Milky Way, it's a supercluster of galaxies. Ooh. So it's like there's the Milky Way and Andromeda, basically every galaxy that we can kind of see, pretty much. We're all clustered together in this area called the Virgo supercluster.
Wow.
Yeah, if you ever do see one of those things where it's just like one of those fun graphics they have on YouTube where it's like, you know, Earth, and they pull out and it's like solar system, and then they pull out and it's like, you know, the Orion arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and then it's the entire Milky Way galaxy, and then it's it eventually pulls out to a Virgo supercluster, and then like something else, and then it's like the observable universe.
Wow, I had no idea. No, that's incredible. Space.
See, I used to want to be an astronaut when I was little, so like this shit I know.
Yeah, like the concept of space in general kind of freaks me out when I do think of it, kind of like Soul. You said you just saw it, right?
I just watched it, yeah.
Where it's kind of existential. It just makes me think how small we are.
I don't know. I guess because I spent so much time wanting to be an astronaut, I often think of space as if I've already been there a lot of the time, which is weird. Like, I'm always thinking, I'm like, man, I gotta get back to space, man. It's like, you've never been to fuck. or like, I don't know. Like, I feel very comfortable with it. Like, the idea of it going on forever doesn't bother me half as much as the idea of, like, death being permanent.
And see, that's how I feel about the ocean. Even though it keeps going, I don't know.
Oh, the ocean is scary. See, here's the thing. You've never confirmed that there's this giant, crazy shit that we don't know about in space. In the ocean, we know for a fact that we have no idea what's in the fucking ocean.
That is, like, deep parts of the ocean that we keep finding things.
That we still haven't been to yet. Yeah, no. What the and it's on our planet. No.
We can fuck make that. Incredible green screen effects for Mark Hamill, but we can't go to the bottom of the ocean of the planet that we live on?
Right? Come on.
Because the pressure is too much?
And isn't that crazy that that's why?
Yeah, that's the reason why, is because like the gravity is too heavy, right?
Why is water that heavy?
Yeah.
It's because water is heavy.
That's crazy. On that note, I don't think there's a band called Ocean.
Depressing note.
On that note of...
bye-bye, everybody. See you next week if you don't fucking shoot yourself in the head.
That's now my theme song. Anyone that remotely knows that my humor is extremely dark and it will leave you crying and laughing. So it's on brand to end a podcast like that. And this band Space, I don't think there's any band named Ocean. So I think
there might be, but they're just not.
Because they're from Liverpool, and I've never heard them because
because you were a zygote when the song came out.
Yeah. Let's see how. Yeah. I mean, if we do want to do that math, it would be like one or two.
I don't. when were you born? 95.
93. So yeah, it would be
93.
Like,
oh, so like three years old.
So I could be in my car seat bopping to this on K Rock.
Yeah. K-Rock would probably play it.
I feel like they would.
It was probably on it.
I feel like they would. So it does seem like a far-off memory that I have heard this song before, but it's not familiar to me. So it's quite possible.
You probably heard it in Austin Powers and just don't
remember. That too.
Honestly.
And honestly, Austin Powers is such a better note than the depressing ocean to leave on. Thank you so much for being
so many
on.
Things want to kill us. You're welcome.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Let's see. I feel like I should explain to people what the Halloween
Hunt
is.
I was going to get into
basically,
that.
If you, I don't know if you know Jen Curcio, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's around. So yeah, she and I are both Halloween enthusiasts. And since, you know, we've been locked in our homes for 9 months, it's one of those things where we both just had kind of like existential crises and said, you know what, we unapologetically just love spooky shit, and we're tired of having to pretend like we're not those people, quote unquote, because, you know, those people. We're Halloween people. Oh, those people. So we both have been so bored and just kind of like crafting and stuff in our homes that we just said, fuck it, and took all the stuff that we've been crafting and opened up an Etsy shop. So if you like, we have like, you know, spooky masks. If you need a face mask, which I know you do because Corona's not fucking going away anytime soon. Cute, you know, like house decorations and stuff like that. If you're into spooky shit and you want to help some starving artists not starve, then you can go to Halloween Huns on Etsy and get yourself some spooky merch made with love and scariness.
Yes, and I can attest these designs are really cool. There's like a Freddie, Freddie, what's his name? Clawman.
Kruger!
Kruger, thank you.
Clawman.
My mind is mush.
That's like, you know how they make those like off-brand Disney videos?
The 99 cent store is...
Yeah, there's one that's just like a 30-minute version of the Nightmare on Elm Street. It's called Clawman.
Freddie Mercury as Clawman.
As Clawman! He's got everything's burnt to death, but his little mustache is fucking perfectly in place.
The mustache is still intact.
Clawman's got great.
But yeah, check out the Clawman mask.
So I had my Clawman mask on the other day, and this lady at Reddit was like, "Oh, I love your mask, Christmas colors." Because it's red and green. And I was like, yep, that's exactly what it is.
Technically true.
I didn't want to correct her because she was just like the sweet old lady that like that checks me out every time I go over there.
Oh no, this.
And I was just like, hey, I didn't want to ruin
this mask. Is actually representing a man who murders children. No.
Have you heard of the Clawman movies?
The Clawman cinematic universe. No, I keep meaning, and I'll probably message you after this, I keep meaning to buy one of those masks, and I keep forgetting because my mind is mush.
Yeah.
But no, they are a great design. I know Jen was attached to. That's fantastic. I want to support both of you, of course.
We have an Instagram that you can follow us. We go live. We generally go live every Sunday and do a little crafting chat.
Oh, wow.
And people can join in and let us know what they're crafting on, and we can all talk together. We didn't do one today. We didn't do one last week. We might do one next week just because of the holidays. It's a lot of trickiness. But generally on Sundays, at 3 p.m. Pacific, we do a live crafting chat on Instagram. And also just for general spooky content, you can follow Halloween Huns on Instagram.
Awesome. For me, you can follow at Ian Zandy on all the platforms. It's just my name, real simple. Wonders is on Instagram, so you could follow them at Wonders Pod, no W, much like the movie.
Oneaters.
Took me a while to realize that, and I have to explain it every time now. But yeah, follow the podcast. We got some cool lineups coming up soon, so subscribe, leave a comment on iTunes. I think that does something. I don't know. I'm new to this.
If people if people give you like 5-star reviews on iTunes, yes, that is good. But if they actually write a review with it, that is better. That will pop you up higher in the algorithm. So it's good for you if you have friends or relatives or whatever, or just, you know, genuine listeners.
I have neither.
I just realized I was like negging your podcast super hard by being like, tell your mom when she goes on there and gives you a 5-star review to make sure that she actually writes, "My sweet little Ian does the best podcast in the land." Like, write something too. It actually makes the review count more.
As a bit, I want someone to do that for me. I want multiple reviews all like that, verbatim. So please go comment, like, subscribe, all that jazz, space jazz on iTunes for this podcast. I inserted one little callback there from the way beginning, and I'm proud of myself for that. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Nick.
Woo! Thank you.
Bye.